friends. Blessing and peace on you in the mighty name of King Jesus. Troy Brewer coming at you strong. As we go into episode number 13 in this year, 5785, Gregorian calendar 2025. Speaking of dates, are you aware on March the 13th, 13% of the world is actually going to see the lunar eclipse that's coming up? I just got through filming a bunch of my Heavenly Happenings videos where I was talking about that. And what could that possibly mean? Look up the 13 words in the King James of Matthew 13:13 and see if that helps out any. Guys, God bless you so much. Thank you so much for watching today. Be sure and like this and share this. And let me tell you what it is that we're going to be talking about today. I have a bunch of friends here and I'm going to be joining them in just a minute. And we're going to be talking about the Super Bowl. We're going to be talking about Trump's appointment of the faith leaders. We're going to be talking about the penny production halted. And we're no longer going to produce the mass. We are no longer going to sanction the mass production of worthless things. How about them apples? Urgency in the body of Christ. Trump gets massive applause at the Super Bowl. And Taylor Swift gets booed. Why do you got to be so mean? And then, per CBS poll, Trump has 53% approval rating. Also, guys, I'm going to be talking to you today about, we're going to mention the Boy Scouts of America have now become the Eunuch Scouts of America as they try to be all-inclusive to anyone who is gender-confused or brainwashed. This and a whole lot of other things. And guys, we're going to be bringing a great kingdom perspective to every single bit of it. But first, I got to tell you that my good friend, Pastor Suwanami Calera, is down in the nation of Mexico, going literally from state to state to state, visiting our many rescued homes and visiting our brand new rescued girls and working on the rescue of many more kids. And one in particular is really special. And this little girl really loves me and I love her. You might remember that we actually pulled her out of the river about 6 months back, pulled her out of a river, out of the Rio Grande, 9 months pregnant, 15 years old. And now, friends, she just had her 16th birthday. I want you to watch this.
Well, hello, everybody. We just got here in Mexico, in the state where Naomi is living. We're gonna surprise her for a huge 16th year celebration. She's turning 16 tomorrow, and she had no idea we're here. I want you to join me and be a first row witness of what we're going about to do with her. Are you ready? Let's go! Did you have some eggs and tortillas? Every 16-year-old girl worth to be celebrated and witness the goodness of the Lord.
Hello.
Thank you.
Hola. Hola, señora.
Hola.
You look so beautiful. You look so beautiful. I am so happy to see you. Happy birthday.
I love you.
Mi amor.
Ah, thank you.
We will not forget you two girls, and we will not forget your babies. We have a special birthday present for you. So we're giving you a new phone for your birthday.
Así que te vamos a dar un nuevo celular para tu cumpleaños, dile.
Listen, we are so proud of you. Thank you for making good choices. Thank you for being such a good mama to your baby boy. That makes my heart so happy. God bless you and happy birthday.
Thank you very much.
Mwah.
Mwah. wanted to say thank you because everything good that is happening is because of you, your heart, and your giving. Thank you very much. Thank you for making this possible. Thank you for bringing the goodness of the Lord to people that in so many years had not identified what was that. And today was the day. Thank you.
Well, and thank you, Pastor Swami Clara, one of my bravest rescuers, one of many all over the world, but one that actually works here in the house here in Burleson, Texas, at the family of Open Door Church Ministries. And I'm just so grateful for her and grateful for all the work that she's doing. And guys, I'm so grateful that we're taking care of that little girl. One of the things that you might not realize is the other girl that lives with her is actually her sister. We've also have rescued her. Her sister's 23 years old. She also has a baby. And so we both put them up in that apartment. They're not staying at one of our rescue homes. We actually sent them to another city in another state, got them their own apartment, got it furnished, and they all just moved in there. So she gets there, and then you saw, you know, like, okay, she's got a refrigerator, but they don't have any food in it. Okay, they got a cabinet, but they don't have any food in it. Like, okay, we got to fix all that. We got to do this because their jobs have lined up. The oldest one has a job, but she hasn't got a paycheck yet. You know how they actually do that from week to week and all that? Like, oh my gosh, they're just... Anyway, these two girls need to be taken care of. And guys, this is our commitment. And friends, I want to encourage you to get into the fight. There's a number on the screen right here. And if you're like, hey, man, this is the fight that I want to have. This is the fight that I want to be in. This is what I want to do. I want to encourage you guys to join us. You can also go to odx.tv. And you can join us there as well, and you can give. And guys, we have so much more work to do, and it's going to cost millions and millions and millions of dollars, and we do not care. This is what we dedicated our life to, and so your partnership matters like never before. So call the number on the screen. Call us at 877-413-0888. People are standing by right now here at this building, here on this very campus, waiting for you to call us. I double dog dare you to do so. Joining me from directly across from me, mildly intimidated at my presence. I just want you to calm down. I'm really no big deal. Listen, I know, is my very good friend, Pastor Brian Schwartz. Schwartz.
Come on, man. The Schwartz be with you.
And with you, sir.
Yes.
And with you as well.
And I am intimidated. I'm just not showing it.
I know. Yeah, I know. I'm such a friend.
It's good to be with you, man.
It's good to be with you, my brother. Yeah, man, you know I love you. NFL football player, you were just here with the Super Bowl. Me and you are going to get some, I would love to hear your insight on that. But you've been with me. You've traveled with me all over the world. You know these girls that we take care of.
Oh, they're so precious. And it's just the picture of redemption. I love Suwanami. She tears up.
I know.
Oh my God.
She cares, but she cares so much.
She does care so much.
And she carries that urgency that I know we're going to talk about. But just all those homes are more than just safe homes. They're habitats of, we've talked, wholeness. It's like sacred spaces for these kids. And just so cool to see. The picture of redemption and just how we follow through. You know, follow through is a big deal.
It's a big deal.
Yeah.
Well, we'll go off into all those different things. And plus, we have a whole bunch of things to talk about in the news that you and I need to discuss. And then also, too, guys, joining me directly across the table is the guy that's over all of our young adults. He's over our students. He's over our youth. He is the guy that works in all that. He's like, I didn't know that. Well, you are. I mean, you have input into all of that, Pastor Ryan.
That's very true. Yeah.
And, man, you mentor so many people. And you demonstrate to so many different people. You've been on staff here at Open Door for how long now?
Be 3 full years in April. Oh. Coming up on 3 years.
That's crazy.
My senior year will start.
I wasn't on staff. I was here the first day he was on the job and was introduced in your office. I was just crazy. Visiting from out of town. And I was like, this could go one of two ways. And it went the good way. Yeah. Hallelujah. No, I mean, I was there that first day. And you've grown so much, man. It's been awesome.
No, you have. And it's a wonder. And I love how you lead. And I love how you're 2,000% in.
All in.
I love that. And I'm so grateful for you.
Yeah. It's interesting. In the church I came from, they said, you know, that it was not very pastoral. And then can come here. And once you get in the right place with the right people for the right purpose, all that stuff starts kicking in. So this is it.
Well, there's different kind of systems and different kinds of cultures for what, you know, pastoral means, you know, and for us. Yeah, we probably, you probably really are a weirdo since you fit in here.
Very.
And it's like, you know, because we're an odd, this is an odd.
I don't know if we have pastoral defined it.
Yeah, exactly right.
You know what it is? You get on the team that has the same goal. Like you and I express things differently. Brian and I express things differently. Yeah. Zach and I do. But
that's true.
All of us are committed to make sure Jesus gets exactly what he deserves. And we'll do anything at any cost to make sure it happens.
Zach Rippey, you're here with me today, my friend.
I am.
You just got through watching the filming of the Heavenly Happenings in there.
Yep.
You helped me do the intros. You helped me do the outros. You helped me with the content in on there. There's some cool things happening in the heavens this next month.
Yeah, March is stacked.
Yeah, it is stacked. Dude, the equinox is happening. Do you even know what an equinox is? Yeah, I didn't think you did.
Isn't it a car?
I think you drive
it. It is a car.
It's not a very good one, right? It seems like a small car, if I remember correctly.
Well, yes. And then there's actually a phenomenon that's going to take place this next month where the light of the moon greatly diminishes.
Okay.
And we're going to talk. And I just got through filming on that.
That's cool.
Which is really cool. And then there's a lunar eclipse that's going to take place. And then on the 29th, there's a partial solar eclipse that's going to take place. The heavens are blowing up this next month.
Will they chemtrail the skies so we can't see any of it?
Yes, I'm sure they will. Yes, as they did on yours. Because you're like, you went outside in Florida. You're like, I'm ready to see this eclipse thing, right? Couldn't do it.
Starting early in the day, chemtrails.
Too much aluminum.
They couldn't even take one day off.
In the skies.
Couldn't see one day off.
It was great. Well, guys, we got a bunch of things to talk about. Zach Rippey, you're helping me with all of our content here today, sir.
Yeah,
right on.
Absolutely.
And there's a bunch of cool stuff that's going on in the news.
Yeah.
What's one of your favorite things?
I love the penny production one. That's probably my favorite just because I love that it's a bold thing to just take away a penny from production and be like, we have enough of them. We don't need them. They're double. They cost triple the amount to make. Or he said, cost us more than 2 cents per penny in production. So wasteful. Wow. I've instructed my Secretary of the U.S. Treasury to stop producing new pennies. Let's rip the waste out of our great nation's budget, even if it's a penny at a time.
We will no longer sanction the production of worthless things.
That's right.
Yes.
But it's kind of a sacred cow. I mean, we've always had a penny.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, well, can we do the new thing? Like, even if that's costing us $179 million, we just don't want to get rid of it.
Yeah, I think it'll still be like in circulation, you know, but everything's so digitalized too. Brian, you got something.
Well, I mean, you've been talking about the man whose face is on the penny.
Yes.
Ooh,
there is a big connection there.
I know.
So, the message there could be that we're not producing the worthless parts of the story. We got to focus on the big parts of the story, the actual value. Yeah, don't forget whose face is on it.
I want, man, Lincoln's on there. Run on and... And it's like, wowzers, yeah, no, I know. And then on the other side, you got the shield, right? You got the shield on one side, and you have Lincoln on the other side. And so, like, well, pluribus unum is what it says on the other side, if I remember correct. Isn't that right? And that means, everybody knows, the pigs are loose in the kitchen.
That's what I thought it was.
That's what that means.
Yeah.
No.
That's powerful.
You like that?
I do.
Okay.
It's actually in the kitchen.
It's actually Latin for something else. One nation, we're one people, we're all one together, you know.
Yeah, $179 million are going to be saved a year, which is the equivalent to 341 Americans' lifetime supply of taxes that they pay.
Wow.
So
in 1 year.
So you was telling me this earlier, man, that on an average, I got a behind the veil coming up. And right on. And we do have a behind.
That's
the
a sneak
veil.
Peek.
We're heading there quick. Let's go.
That was my heartbeat talking about the Boy Scout stuff here.
We are going to get to the Boy Scouts. But $179 million a year for the production of something that is worthless, and the average American pays $500,000 in taxes. You were telling me this.
Yeah, $500,000 over their lifetime.
The lifetime is $500,000 is how much and the average American pays in taxes. And it's like, okay, and it was how many? 341
Americans, yep. So that's like, a big deal. You know, just for something of cutting something like that. Like,
yeah, wow. What do you have to say over there?
A penny saved is a penny earned.
Wow, come on.
Benjamin Franklin,
right? Also, coin for your thoughts.
A penny for your thoughts.
Yeah. This is not the time. We've been overthinking for years. So there's all these phrases that are coming. But penny saved, penny earned.
I've been just paying attention prophetically, you know, since Daniel Penny has been in the headlines. And literally his name means God is my judge, Penny. Mm. You know, Daniel Penny.
Yeah.
And the whole thing of the judgment that he faced with the woke authorities in New York City and said, no, we don't defend ourselves. If you're not the right race, you're not allowed to defend yourself. And that whole mess that went down with that whole thing. And everybody's like, man, dude, in Philadelphia, this girl was raped and everybody filmed it and just said, that's terrible, that's terrible. Nobody would intervene. It's because of jokers like that that people wouldn't intervene. Wow. And there was a military man by the name of Daniel Penny that was on there. It's like, no, I'm going to intervene. And then because he was all doped up, because his body was wrecked, you choke a guy out like that, he dies. Because they're fragile.
Yeah.
They're extremely fragile people. They're not the tough people that they yell and scream and holler. Just everybody just gives place to them. And then when he stood up to him, I mean, he holds the guy down and the guy dies from being held down. I mean, that's how weak physically he actually was. And then boom. All the media, the media circus, the woke crowd, we want him, you know, we want this guy thrown under the bus. After a long time, years in court, after a long time of being made the bad guy, he was finally exonerated. But I was like, Daniel Penny, I'm like, that is, do you know what a penny is? A penny is the lowest common denominator when it comes to the denominations of money.
It's a good word.
Yes.
It's the lowest one. It's the very lowest one. So we are now indeed, in getting rid of the pennies, we are now indeed getting rid of the lowest common denominator. And we need to go according to the judgment of God, not according to the judgment of man, Daniel Penny.
Mm, we already got rid of Biden. I thought that was the lowest common denominator.
So the Democratic Party got rid of Biden.
Yeah, they sure did.
It was the Democrat Party.
Yes.
Thank you, Democrats. Best move you ever made. Promise you that. Well.
And their solution was.
Yeah, their solution good. Was Kamala.
The shelves are kind of bare right now.
We are no longer encumbered by the things that once were. Hallelujah. Well, friends, here we are, and we're talking about penny production halted, $179 million saved a year. The single fix is saving lifetime taxes of 341 Americans. That's amazing. Today, there was some big news, and it actually happened yesterday, and the news was that the Boy Scouts of America has changed their name to, I think, just Scouts America, I think it is. Boy Scouts of America officially changes its name to be gender inclusive. Mm. Scouting American president and CEO Roger Crone. Roger Crone. By the way, look at who's reporting on this, Greta Cross. I want you just, hello, Greta. How are you, Greta? I'm digging your name. That's a prophetic word. I pray that your image will match. Can I just also say this, too, when it comes to a penny? Can I say this?
Please. Go ahead.
Because Jesus says when it comes to a coin, he says you can tell who it belongs to by the image it bears.
Yeah.
Amen.
Render right. unto
Caesar.
Caesar.
That's exactly right. Whose image is on it? That's how you can tell who it belongs to. Right on?
Mm-hmm.
Whoever's image is on it is who it actually belongs to. That's a really big deal. Just admiring this image. So it says, Scouting America President and CEO Roger Crone said, now would be a good time for the name change. Following the organization's exit of year-long bankruptcy in tandem with membership growth. Well, I wonder why they can't attract anybody to be a part of the Boy Scouts when they don't want any boys in there. What is that all about? Now, they're still keeping the Girl Scouts. And by the way, let me just tell you, the president, Roger Crone, now would be a good time for you to change. Now would be a good time for you to leave the Boy Scouts. What they need is they need a leadership change. They don't need a gender change. And you don't need a name change. At one time, this was very, very, very prestigious to be a part of it. And it went all the way up into the Eagle Scouts, went all the way up into it. And if you were an Eagle Scout, everybody knew exactly what kind of person you were. I mean, just by being a part of an Eagle Scout, people would look and say, I want to hire you. I want you in this college. I want you this. I want you that. Because you indeed were an Eagle Scout. It was clowns like Crone that threw that out the window. And because, honestly, I just want to just tell you this. You can't tell me, brother, that Roger Crone just comes up with this stuff himself. There's some kind of kickback involved. He's under the influence of witchcraft. This is DEI. And what you didn't count on was the narrative changing. What you didn't count on was Jehovah Nisi showing up and Trump going into office and the witchcraft of woke being broken. This is in stark contrast to how the nation is
down.
Yeah, they're doubling down.
They're doubling down on it instead of the realization that most are coming to. And by the way, did you really look into what caused the years-long bankruptcy?
It's because you have a whole bunch of leadership that's actually lesbians pointing that are actually showing up and saying, well, you know, we don't feel like we're women anymore. We're actually men. And so now we will define what a man looks like. And then you put those clowns in leadership at the Boy Scouts of America. And then you started indoctrinating and brainwashing vulnerable children until these boys start thinking that they're girls. And now they're like, you know, this whole boy thing doesn't really work for us anymore. Now what actually works is for us to be very gender inclusive of all the additional genders. Well, you know what just happened, man? You know what? The United States of America, our own government just defined there are two genders. And that's it. Dude, you're out of lock. You're out of step. And it's not going to work.
And the bankruptcy, they should go back into it. If I was a parent, I would pull my kid immediately.
Would you?
Absolutely.
You dang Skippy. I would too.
I'm not going to support something
like
that.
Yeah, why would you support something
that? You're supposed to supplement what I'm doing as a parent.
Mm-hmm.
You're not supposed to indoctrinate my kid. This is indoctrination. Nothing more than indoctrination from an early age when they're most vulnerable. We're supposed to be those in authority and leadership that actually advocate for those that are most vulnerable. And here we are actually manipulating the most vulnerable.
Well, I'm actually sad for the institution of Boy Scouts of America because there was something else. And yes. I was a part of Boy Scouts when I was a kid. I was a part of Cub Scouts when I was a kid. I was a part of, what was it, Weeblos, right? I was a part of all that. I did all that stuff, man, when I was a kid. And it was awesome. And the guys that were in charge of all of us, all of those guys were wonderful men through the years. They were wonderful men. And then it's no longer like that. You no longer learn. You know what Boy Scouts of America is supposed to do? It's supposed to teach boys how to become men.
Yes.
That's what it's supposed to do. That was their mission. Their mission was to help boys become outstanding men. And now they're like, you know what? We don't even want men in this.
Yeah, we're going to neuter.
We don't want boy. We want eunuchs. That's what ridiculous. We want. Well, that's what Jezebel does. She turns the men around her into eunuchs. Mm-hmm. And then they end up throwing her out the window, which is a whole nother. I'm going to just tell you, man, that leadership, that crone, dude, that brother needs to be out. And all of his staff needs to be out. And what they're trying to do to America and what they're doing to America's institutions, the body of Jesus needs to stand up against them and go, no, not on our watch.
Yeah. They need to fire whoever consulted them immediately.
Yes. Because
there was a whole season
where
the consultants they didn't just come up.
They didn't just come up with this today.
Their pockets lined. This whole DEI function that came in during those years.
They went through the consultant. And dude, they have untold amounts of money racked up into all of their camps and all the staffing of those camps. Mm-hmm. Honestly, would you send your boys to a camp where they're going to spend the night where they say, you know, we're not really boys here?
Never.
Yeah, there's no way.
Never.
You're going to trust those leaders that sign up with that bunch? Ain't no way. Yeah. Pastor Warren, what do you have to say about this?
Well, I mean, we talked about this a few weeks ago on the Pulse, where when the truth's in charge, the lies stand out so much more.
Mm-hmm.
And we talked about how agendas can't stand up when the truth's being spoken and things like that. We've had an entire nationwide thing where it's all about a big M word, merit.
Yep.
Right? What do Boy Scouts, whenever they achieve a certain function or have a certain knowledge skill, what do they get? They get a merit badge.
Yeah.
So look how much of a big time square off this is between merit and DEI. It's massive. Back to the name, image, likeness thing.
Yes.
This is a big, I mean, you just, anyway, I love it.
I saw a commercial for the Marines. The Marines lately. The whole narrative in the commercial has changed. It's back to merit.
Yeah.
They literally say it in the commercial, and they changed it from a primary female picture back to a male picture.
Quick word on the consulting thing. You would only bring a consultant in if you didn't have somebody on your team that could already solve the problem, right?
Mm-hmm.
when you get brought in to help business owners and stuff, if they already had somebody on their team that carried what you carried, they wouldn't bring you in.
Not a chance.
What that tells me is they've got a huge gap in what their team looks like. So
they're supposed to be leaders.
Agreed.
They're the Boy Scouts of America. They're supposed to be leading. That's what they're supposed to be doing.
And be, yeah. They're supposed to be bad motor scooters, and they're not.
Yeah, man. Wowzers.
I'm not trying to
transition, but you've got that where they grow up to be what? To be Eagles, right?
Yeah.
And then who we just have win the Super Bowl.
Yeah, let's don't mention transition in the midst of all this DEI and Boy Scouts and all that. Thank you.
Not for me.
I'll redeem that word. That's exactly right. Guys, if you're watching, episode 13 here of The Pulse, and we're so happy that you're here with us today. If you're watching on phone, you probably cannot read these little bitty things here. You probably cannot. It's a little bitty, tiny, microscopic thing on here. So let me tell you what the phone number is. It's 877. No.
Yeah.
It's 877-413-0888. I can't read it. I honestly cannot read it. And I almost gave the whole wide world my phone number just
now. You almost did. I saw that.
Thanks for jumping in. I did. You're welcome. I appreciate it. 877-413-0888. And the other little bitty tiny thing right here, that says ODX is what that says. That says ODX.TV is what that says. Look, here he goes. You brought it up. Thank you. Magnified. Way to go, man.
You have not because you ask not.
That's it. There you go. So, guys, ODX.TV, 877-413-0888. Okay. Hey, man, let's talk about Super Bowl here for just a minute. So here's a cool headline. It's just kind of out of the blue, and I like this. You give this headline. It has to do with the Super Bowl, buddy.
All right. Trump gets massive applause at Super Bowl. Yes. Taylor Swift gets booed. America is healing.
Yes. Come on. Oh, I wanted the Eagles to win for a few reasons, but the biggest one was the Taylor Swift factor. And I love that she got booed. And Trump got applauded. I mean,
she literally said in the video, "What's going on? Like, why are they booing me?"
I'm confused.
Yeah, because she wasn't in Kansas City, and that's normally where she is. Where, of course, Kansas City fans like her and stuff. But
yes.
Not in that territory, like you got to really see how America feels, which is
She's convinced that the entire world is madly in love with her.
Uh-huh. Yeah,
she's convinced of that, and she is wrong.
If you like witchcraft and occultism, she's your one.
Yeah, and dude, if you want to look exactly like Anton LaVey's daughter. There you go. Like, yeah. Oh, I'm sorry. That's just weird. And, look it up. Man, why in the world would you send your child to be a part of something like that where it's sexual, it is witchcraft, there's demonic things that's going on? Yeah, but it's just so cool because me and my daughter, we're going to have a mother-daughter day, and I'm going to pretend like I'm 15 years old. That's what I'm going to do. And therefore, I'm going to act like, hey, dude, listen. That's the same kind of leadership that the Boy Scouts have today.
Yeah.
Moms, raise your daughters to be Proverbs 31 women.
Mm.
Do not be a part of this, man. Don't be a part of that. So now, listen, I don't know her personally. I just tell you, just as far as what her brand is, it's not kingdom. And I would never, ever send my daughter to be a part of any of that.
Yep. Her big voice of what she champions when it comes to political stuff is about abortion, you know? And so I think that says enough right there. It's like, that's what the hill she's dying on is that. Yeah.
And the clown that was on the halftime show yesterday.
Yes.
Yes. I'm
so glad we didn't participate.
Yeah, I'm not going to watch that baloney. Now you actually here at our Super Bowl watch party, you actually got up and you preached for 30 minutes during the halftime show.
Yes.
You got up and you preached. And tell everybody what was you preached on.
I preached on the commission to be, do, have. What it looks like to produce fruit, fill the earth with it, reproduce that fruit, and subdue the enemy and take dominion or have dominion.
I remember your message. I mean, it was very impactful. So you got to be first, then you got to do, and then you got to have.
Yeah.
And you went through all that kind of stuff. The whole thing about identity.
Identity, becoming who we're supposed to become in that producing fruit, taking what God has put on the inside of us and producing that, but then not stopping there, reproducing that through mentoring and discipleship.
I actually loved what you said. You said you can, whenever God Almighty commands you to be fruitful, that's not, you're not doing fruitful, you're being fruitful.
Yes, you're producing something that he's already put inside of you. right? And if you can do that and it's a good fruit, then it's worth reproducing. But we have to reproduce that through mentoring, discipleship. But then he goes a little bit further. He says, now take that multiply. He says, multiply it. And then he says, fill the earth with it. Fill the earth with something that the enemy will be subdued by. So it's like subduing the enemy through fruit production and reproduction.
Yes.
And then he says, then you'll actually enter into a new level of authority and have that dominion that he already has for us.
Okay, so the warped demonic side of that is exactly like what we were just talking about, Taylor Swift.
Yes.
Okay, so she's like going to be, and her whole thing is going to be who she is.
Yes.
And then... she does. She multiplies. And she convinces a generation of mamas to try and be teenagers and to be cool teenagers again. She has disciples. And, you know, everybody shows up and they all do all this kind of stuff. And then it's like, hey, listen, I'm your mom, but I'm really just going to be your really cool girlfriend. Yep. And, you know, we're going to go through this thing together. Gosh almighty. And then have dominion.
Yeah.
And then have dominion.
Yes.
The message that you give is so impactful. The imagery that you demonstrate is so impactful. And meanwhile, you get further and further and further away from the kingdom.
Yep. And you will have like the earth, the world system is a perfect place for that worldview to fit into it. It's perfectly formulated for that. And so we're supposed to bring a different kingdom. Mm. And that was what he called at the first humans he created. That was the first command he gave them. Was to be, do, and have. And that's our calling.
Look, man, I love good music, and there's a lot of musicians that I love that I don't like as people and what they stand for. So I'm not talking about any of that, you know, and I'm not talking about any of that. What I'm saying is this: you don't program your children to be pro-abortionists, progressive liberals, and then say that you're godly.
Yeah.
And that's not what you do.
That's exactly right.
And you don't program them where you program mm-hmm. them that. You don't do that and then say that you're kingdom and say that you're godly.
Yeah.
So that's what I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Yeah. What do you guys think of Trump being celebrated so widely at the Super Bowl, both from the crowd as well as a lot of the players?
I think it just reflects, once again, you don't know what you're under until you're not under it. Now we're not under this nonsense. And now there's freedom. There's something in the anxiety used to be in the airwaves. Now it's been evicted by freedom. Like now there's freedom in the airwaves.
That's so good. One thing I like about Jones, he's a captain of the defense.
Yeah.
And I remember watching that video, and he like went out of his way to get a handshake with Trump. And then Trump started moving in opposite direction. And then Jones was like, hey, yo, you know, like he made sure to shake his hand that day. And I thought that was very big. He didn't just like, you know, try it once and then dip out. You know, he was like adamant about shaking the president's hand and saying whatever he said.
It's a great picture.
That is a great picture. And I bless him in Jesus' name. Bless that whole event. And just, you know, man, I last night there was a bunch of men from out of town that came to our gathering. A bunch of guys. There was one guy by the name of Ken, and I know that Ken watches every time we're on. Hey, Ken, up in big time Decatur, Texas, I bless you in Jesus' name. And anyway, all these guys had all gathered together. Just how desperate we have been for good leadership.
Absolutely.
How desperate we have been. And how it's celebrated.
Yeah.
And you know what? We think, and we've been intimidated into thinking that if we're really good leaders, everybody's not going to like that. They're going to be upset over it. Everybody's going to be like, what are you doing? No, people know when you're leading for their good.
Yes.
People know, and they actually celebrate it.
People respect men, people of action.
Mm-hmm.
A while ago, I was driving and felt like the Lord was like, you need to help men be men of action, not missing in action. And when we've had a leadership over these last several years, they were missing in action. And that kind of abdication of authority, it's got to get filled in somewhere. And so I'm so grateful. There's going to be a whole other generation of men being raised up like never before that are going to be in the fight again.
Yeah.
I love that. We're getting our fight back.
I'll tell you what let's do. Here in just a minute, we will go behind the veil. And we'll do that. We'll go behind the veil. And this is exclusive for everybody that's at ODX.TV. If you're stage two or stage three, partner with me. You'll be able to join us. And you know what? Let's you and I, and let's all four of us, let's talk about urgency in the body of Christ, because we talked about that quite a bit yesterday. That's huge on us. And then also, too, faith. The faith leaders have been appointed by Trump.
Oh, yes.
Right. And he put together this board. So I want to, if I can speak into that real quick before we go behind the veil. And friends, if you're not a part of stage two or stage three partner, you know what? Jump on. I double dog dare you. Simply call the number. Call 877-413-0888. Again, it's 877-413-0888. People are standing by right now. Or you can go to odx.tv and sign up for stage two or stage three partnership there. Again, get in the fight. Help me rescue boys and girls out of sexual slavery. And then help me raise them. Help me get them raised, man. Listen, guys, we got to walk this all the way through. We got to carry this all the way across. And that's what we do. We actually do that very well. And we're able to do that because of your partnership. So please be sure and do that. And then I want to just kind of talk about this faith leaders thing and say this. One of the things that I don't like, whenever this kind of thing happens, immediately everybody comes up with what they don't like about the different leaders that is in there.
For sure.
And I have to throw this out there, and I have to say this to you. The American church needs to have a voice. Yes. With the president of the United States.
That's true.
And we need to celebrate that. Now, again, woke leaders and limp-wristed leaders in the body of Jesus have been like, well, we can't speak into any of that. We don't want to have any influence because everybody's going to say that we're Christian nationalists. Mm. Oh, my gosh. That is so ridiculous. It is absolutely ridiculous. Like, a Christian nationalist. Okay, well, what other religion, quote-unquote, do you want to have over our nation?
Yeah, no, but they hijacked that term and they define it in a weird
Christian
way.
Nationalist, yeah. As if you're some kind of a psycho or weirdo if you want to be one nation under God.
Yeah, that's so ridiculous.
That's who we say we are, is one nation under God. And that God is defined as the one that Jesus Christ revealed as the Father. So we want to have Christian leaders there. It doesn't mean that you have to agree with everything that they do. And it's kind of like a lot of people hate Joel Osteen so bad, they don't care that millions of people have been saved through his ministry. They don't care. They're like, yeah, but they're probably not really saved because, you know, all he does is get up and do a speech. Dude, don't do that. That's not wisdom. Be all about the King and Kingdom, and then you decide where you want to go to church. You decide who you want to partner with. You decide who you want to stand with. But dude, do not be cussing these leaders that are up there that are making a difference, and they actually have voice and influence because you don't like their makeup, or you don't like their hairstyle, or you don't like what denomination they are.
Or you weren't chosen for the job, so you're salty.
Yeah,
that's one of the real truths
that's
right
exactly
there.
Exactly right.
Yeah. So, well, yes, it's a mixed bag of goodies, isn't it?
It is.
It is. It
discernment is ministries.
It is. So what do you have to say about that?
I think it's a question the church is facing right now in a year where God's putting this double grace out to overcome. Can you celebrate the grace of God in somebody's life that you don't like? Can you do that or not?
Wow. That's
can you
word.
Celebrate the goodness of God in somebody's life that you don't care for? Yes or no?
Or just stay out of it. You know, you don't have to interject your opinion about every leader that gets put in a position of power. You know,
Listen, while there is real error within the body of Jesus, and there is, I mean, there is a lot of things that are whack. Most of what I find that people really object to is really style.
It's wild, isn't it?
It's style.
It is.
And there's a lot of things, man, that I don't sign up for, that I don't like their style one single bit. It pegs my cringe meter. As soon as they start to speak, it'll peg my cringe meter. Like, dude, that is not for me. But it might be for millions of other people. And it's like, I have nothing to say. I have my own field and I have my own thing to do, and I'm going to do my own thing. If I am going to be brave, and I am going to, obviously I am going to say what I feel like needs to be said, but trashing people in the body of Jesus, I mean, that's slapping the bride of Christ around.
Yeah.
And I fear the Lord when it comes to that.
Yeah. Jesus said, be careful how you hear. And he was referring to judgment. Be careful what you're listening to and how you interpret what you're listening to. And then he goes into the teaching on, according to your standard and measure, it will be measured back to you. So I think that it's that fine line of being able to point out real error without calling for God's justice. But just sometimes you want to make people aware of what's going on. And that's a dangerous ground because it can feel a lot like you're judging that person. So I think when you look at some of the character of some of the individuals that maybe have been named, to that faith council, you're going to see histories. History always gets brought up, and you're going to see some things in their history that cause you to go, I don't know if I like that, morale in the moral sense. And I think it's kind of funny when we're trying to choose either a president or a leader based upon morality. That is a tricky, because if you look back in my past, you would find things that were very immoral.
Some of the worst things I've ever seen in my life.
Well, let's actually not go there. Bless God. But there's also, the reality is there's opportunity for change and growth. And I just think I'm grateful that we have a president that's willing to attempt to surround himself with people that that do call upon the name of Jesus.
Yes.
They may do it differently than we do, and they may have some stuff in their past that I wouldn't want my kids to participate in.
Yes.
But at the same time, you know, that's why I think Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy 2. He said, first of all, let prayers, right? He said, supplication, prayers, intercession, and thanksgiving be made on behalf of all, but especially leaders. Those that are in places of authority.
Yes.
So we have to have enough understanding that if we cry out to the Lord, we bring our supplications and we cry out for our leaders, we can trust that the Holy Spirit can move upon anybody in any situation and drop the wisdom of heaven into that situation through flawed spiritual leaders and through flawed national leaders.
Dude.
We have to have a greater faith in His ability to partner with Him in our prayers and go, Lord, we're asking You, let Your kingdom come into these meetings. Let Your will be done.
Todd Coconato is a big part of all that. I love Todd. Todd's a good friend of mine. I'm going to do a lot of ministry with Todd this year. Sharon Bolin is a good friend of mine. She's a she's been a friend of mine for 30 years, and she is on there as well, and she has big influence and all of that kind of stuff. There's some really good people on that council. What we want is a nation that will listen to the voice of Christians in our nation. And they're there. And to pick them apart is ludicrous.
Yeah.
That is a silly, silly thing to do. You know, a lot of people do that in history now. And again, it's a woke teaching. Okay, you like that guy in history? Well, let's look and see if there's any mess in his life. Oh, you can't love what he's done. You can't. Dude, that's baloney. That's totally baloney. Yeah. You're like, no, this guy is still my hero because of this, not because of that.
Yeah.
And we do want there to be a strong voice in the White House. And I praise God that He's given ear to that.
Yes.
There's a word you've been sharing the past couple of years that during the first Trump administration that the church didn't look, you know, more like that, that the church started looking more like Trump, not the other way around.
Yep.
And I think what you're seeing is some redemption and some fulfillment of stuff that you've shared publicly and that the church has been praying for, that that the state would look more, you know, more Jesus-led.
Amen. Let it be.
So it's happening.
It is happening.
Yeah.
It is happening. And so I'm very, very, very grateful for that. Well, friends, it's about time for us to go behind the veil. And we're going to go behind the veil. And for those of you that are brand new to our broadcast, if you're like, hey, what is all this madness? Well, this is exclusively for the people that partner with us. And friends, we are actually going to be talking about urgency in the body of Jesus. We're going to be talking about accelerated timeframes. We're going to be going kind of that route because we all can participate in that conversation. And then as always, man, I'm asking you guys to let me know where it is that you're watching from. If you'll please comment, if you'll please smash the buttons, if you have not yet subscribed, if you have not yet partnered with us, all those things, do those things. Jump in and get in the fight. Friends, this coming Wednesday night, my good friend, Pastor Brian Schwartz, is going to be preaching here at Open Door Church on Wednesday night. Do you know what you're preaching yet?
I do.
Do you really?
Yeah.
What are you preaching, man?
I'm preaching about moving from admiration into complete surrender.
Yeah.
Jesus not just being a good teacher and a good buddy, but what does it look like to fully surrender to His supremacy?
From admiration.
From admiration into complete surrender.
And I love the language of that, man.
Yeah. It lines up with what you've been talking about, compatibility. Like, what does it look like to be compatible? He's not looking for perfection, but He's looking for a people that would move towards this aiming point of, because when you start talking about lordship, that's a unique territory. But really, what does it look like to start realigning your life, moving your faith, your family, everything towards that surrender to His supremacy and being driven by His supremacy more than the standards of this world?
Yeah, that's a big difference between visitation and habitation.
Yeah.
There's a big difference. Remember the guy that wrote that book called Not a Fan?
Yes.
Oh yeah.
Remember that book?
Yep.
Yeah.
What a masterpiece that was. That was that book was so impactful was really at the time great. That it hit us all of us in here.
Yeah, I read that.
It's like, hey man, I'm not a fan. Yeah. You know, I'm a true follower. I pick up my cross and I follow him. I'm not just a fan.
Yeah.
That whole thing of admiration. It's kind of like everybody loves the idea of being married.
Totally.
And then the only way you can stay married, if you get married, is lay down your life.
Come on. Yes.
There's no other way to stay married. You got to die.
Because when you get married, you're plugging yourself into an amplifier.
That's exactly right.
It amplifies everything you're not and everything you are.
Yes. And so you do that, and then what's real is, it's like, okay, like, man, I and again, I hear it a lot, and I praise God for this because I demonstrated a lot in our marriage. I show everybody that Leanna and I love each other, that we truly are for each other. We see our marriage as a ministry.
Yes.
But let me tell you, you have to live with that.
You do.
And so Leanna has to decide, on my worst days, I'm still willing to live with this.
Yep.
And we all have to decide that over and over and over again. Yes. And it's exactly when you move from just admiring Jesus and just going, Jesus is just all right for me.
Yeah.
Right on.
Yeah.
Doobie Brothers. Woo.
Yes.
Right on. That's a great song, by the way. From moving there into, I will conform my life to the very image of his plan.
Yep.
Those are two different.
They really are. And then what's the motive behind that? You know, and I'm going to break down Luke chapter 5 when Peter was in the boat and went fishing a little bit deeper.
That's really good.
And it was the astonishment of who he was that led to repentance. It wasn't just feeling bad. It was the reality of confronting a superior reality.
You know, I actually preached on that a little bit out of Joshua chapter 5 on Sunday. And so I was talking about Joshua chapter 5, the whole thing of doom. As soon as they crossed the river, the manna ceased.
Mm-hmm.
It's like, okay, there's no turning back. You better get with the program.
Yeah.
Because the manna has ceased. No more kingdom government checks for you. Mm-hmm. It's over.
Mm-hmm.
You better know how to do this.
Yeah.
Okay. And then as soon as they do, the angel of the Lord is there and he walks straight up to him. Joshua does and gets in his face and says, why are you staring me down? Are you on my side or are you on somebody else's side? And he said, he basically says, I'm God and I'm here to take over.
Yep.
And he falls down and worships him.
Yeah.
So he goes from thinking he is a person to an angel to know this is God.
Yep.
And that revelation and him getting with the program. And I was preaching on this on Sunday, Zach, and you'll love this, Pastor Ryan, is the whole thing of everybody wants to cross the Jordan. Everybody wants to go into the promised land. Everybody wants these things, but you need to know this. The angel of the Lord shows up with a sword to do your inspection, not somebody else's inspection.
That's right.
Yeah.
In Joshua chapter 5, he shows up and he's inspecting you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And says, okay, I'm not on your side. I'm not on their side. I'm on my side. Whose side are you on? I need nothing but your complete devotion and loyalty to me right now from this point forward. Are you with the program? Boom, I'm with the program.
You got to choose a side.
Your commitment to the Lord. And the reason why so many great men and women of God have fallen as they've gone through their ministry is because they do not reconsecrate themselves. They grow in their gift and they never have that inspection moment over and over and over again. And David knew the power of this where he said, search me, O Lord, if there's anything wicked within me, you know, show me. Because he knew the power of reconsecration to the Lord, and he knew, if this doesn't happen, if I don't have an inspection right now, I'm going to end up on the side of the Philistines, and I don't want to be on their side.
Yeah.
I'm with your program.
It's actually preemptive, right? The search me is a preemptive measure, knowing what's inside of us. And he also knew the reality of blowing it so bad and then having to have a prophet come, not just the spirit, but the prophet had to come and tell him a story to point out. And he goes, you're the man. And then Psalm 51, like David understood the power of preemptively, hey, search me, get to the depth of everything that I am so that, because he knew the other side of it. When you go through with that sin, what it leads to. But there is a remedy. This is what people got to understand too. There is a remedy when you've blown it. And there's also a way that is wiser, which is letting the Holy Spirit deal with you before it has to get there.
That's right.
And I think that's part of this whole process, is helping people both get redeemed out of this massive mess up, but then also training them. You don't have to go back into that. There is a way. That's why I love Hebrews 4:12 says the word is sharper than a double-edged sword. It says it cuts. It cuts to the depth of dividing your spirit from your soul, because then it can know your intentions. Man, when God can get to our intentions, we got a shot.
Outstanding.
Right?
Yeah.
But it's letting him get there. Let me show you what your intentions are.
Yeah.
And I don't like to see those sometimes, because there are intentions in my heart that are very selfish.
Yeah.
At times.
So to actually be judged, like, there's literally a measurement of judgment that comes upon you concerning your intentions. Like, Troy, you know that you intended to shame that person, right?
Absolutely.
Like, no, I didn't intend to do that. I didn't intend to do that. No, actually you did.
You did.
You wanted to shame that person. Mm-hmm. So do you want to heap up shame on your own head? Is that what you're looking for? No, sir, I am not. Repent.
Yeah.
Stop it. Well, you know you wanted to manipulate that person. No, I did not. Yes, you did. Yeah, you did, because you wanted an outcome and you were too scared to bring it up.
Absolutely.
You didn't have the courage to bring it up. So you just thought that you would work your little magic of manipulation up on somebody.
Yeah. Oof.
Dude, when God starts dealing with you on those kinds of issues, like, oh my gosh.
Brother, those are heavy moments.
They are heavy moments.
He took me over to Jeremiah 17. Cursed is the man who trusts in mankind and makes flesh his strength.
Those are heavy.
Yeah, he started replaying all the different men in my life who were awesome people that I trusted more in their ability to do something for me versus his ability to do something through them for me.
Guys, I have got to go behind the veil.
Let's go.
I got to do this. And so we're going to go behind the veil right now. If you're on ODX stage 2 or stage 3, just stay right where you're at. For everybody else, don't forget that Pastor Brian Schwartz is going to be with us here at Open Door Church on Wednesday night. I will be with Pastor Alan DeDio, and I will be out there at Encounter Church, right on, and be out there in Charlotte, North Carolina on Wednesday night. And then, guys, yeah, me and Pastor Alan. Dude, it's an emergency. I want you. It's an emergency prophetic gathering. That's what it is. What do you think old Alan's feeding his beard? What do you think he's...
Oh, there's miracle girl. There's something in there.
I want you to look at the cool look I got. Like, I got my eye on you, buddy.
Yeah, you're like, I'm side eye.
I got my side eye.
It is side eye right there.
Hey, man, come out and join me this coming Wednesday night with my good friends out at the Encounter Charlotte. It's 1651 North Carolina. Right on.
Such cool graphics.
Yeah, no, he's there. That's his boy does all that for him.
Amazing.
And dude, it's like, look at this. Look at the sun. Uh-huh. I mean, he's got the sun. And so he always throws cool stuff in there too. All right, guys, I'm going to leave you guys alone. If you're on ODX, stay right where you're at. I love you guys. I call y'all the head and not the tail, above and not beneath, and highly favored of the Lord. Bye-bye.